Welcome to the Story Night podcast, where you hear true stories on a theme, recorded live on stage and without notes. I'm your host, Jessica Holmes. Today, love makes the world go round as we hear the final stories from our February 2011 show, Star-Crossed Love, Stories of Fated Attractions. Our first featured storyteller is someone I happen to deeply love. My mom, Carol Holmes, finds that even when the embers have grown cold, the phoenix of love rises from the ashes.
Jessica, she always tells me, she says, "Mom, a good story needs to have a beginning, a middle, and an end. But I want to start in the middle." What do English major kids know anyways, you know? So for that, I need to go back 10 years ago. It was at the old courthouse in downtown Boise. And I just walked out of the judge's chambers, and my divorce lawyer turns to me and shakes my hand and says, "Congratulations, you're now divorced." And I know I gave her a blank stare because I was thinking, "You're kidding, right? After 22 years of all the joys and sorrows, now I'm divorced? I mean, Mike didn't even know about this. I didn't have to tell him about this hearing. He just thought the whole divorce thing would go away, so he never fought it. And as far as being congratulated, my life at that moment felt more like that burnt acre of land I just drove by. It felt like nothing but ashes. So now I'll start at the beginning just to be a good mother. When the very first time I saw Mike was in 1977. It was in July, and I was 22, and he was 24. And it was on a Wednesday night at this happening church called The Warehouse. And they had a time of sharing, and Mike went up to the front wearing purple bell-bottom pants. And he shares about how he just moved here from Minnesota. And that, he thought the hills were beautiful. And that he just got in from four-wheeling. And the angels had to hold up his car, though, in some places where there was washed-out roads and this precarious bridge. And then he sits down. I just had one impression, and that was squirrely. And so, you know, the next time I saw Mike was just a few days later at the same church. It was a singles group meeting. And so as I'm walking into the building, I stopped to take a look at this car. Or was it a truck? You know, I am not one to notice vehicles at all, but this car was just weird. And so I open the door to the meeting, and Mike's the first one I see. He's sitting there, and he has the biggest, silliest grin on his face. So I smiled politely as I was thinking to myself, "Oh, there's that squirrely guy." And then after the meeting, he came up and he talked to me. And we were having this conversation. Then he says, "Well, do you want to go riding around for a while?" And I said, "Okay." And, you know, I cannot explain why I said okay. I already thought the guy was squirrely. I just chalk it up to being in my 20s. So we go out to get into his car, and guess which one it is? It's that weird one. And come to find out, Mike had an international travel all, which, as he puts it, he parked it on its roof in the swamps of Minnesota. So he takes a Ford station wagon, the body of a Ford station wagon, puts it on the chassis of the international travel law. Then he gets about four other Ford parts, John Deere and snowmobile parts, plus the seats from a Toyota, and he puts it all together. Mike called it an inord. You know, in the beginning, this car used to make me so embarrassed, but it was because it just brought us so much attention. I just hated all that attention. So it wasn't long into our relationship, though, when I found out Mike did have this wild side. I found out he had this other love, and it was pot smoking. Now, me, on the other hand, I was not into that stuff at all. In fact, you could say I was about as naive as any 12-year-old is today. And so on one side, you had this wild pot-smoking guy, and then you had this very naive, straight-laced gal. So what do we do to make life more complicated? I became pregnant. Well, it took us about 6 months because either one or the other of us would get cold feet, but then we got married. So 3 months after we're married, our beautiful Melody was born. And then 17 months after Melody, we had our beautiful Jessica. And then, for our for our second wedding anniversary, we went out to dinner, and we celebrated 2 years, two kids, one dog, and one house. And then we went up to the hills behind 8th Street. Behind 8th Street, and we made sweet love. And we did have a third daughter, but not then. Oh, goodness. Now, now, for the next 16 years, if Mike was telling this story, it would differ greatly from how I would tell it, because Mike did not see all those lonely nights where I lay crying on my pillow, and he didn't see those many, many prayers I sent regarding him and I and our children. He did see me read a lot of books about marriage, but I don't think he wondered why. And, you know, it wasn't like Mike and I fought a lot. In fact, we did have this common thread of respect for one another. And in a lot of ways, we meshed together really well. But don't get me wrong, we did fight. And especially in the beginning, I would say I had a good blow up at least once a week or once a month. And, you know, but during this time, Mike's addictions did start to take over his life more and more. And then, when Jessica was 12, that's when we had our beautiful Julia. And then, just 2 years after Julia was born, oh, I should say, you know, I was just so into trying to have this perfect, wonderful, wholesome family. But instead, I was building this facade, one that came crashing down when Julia was just 2 years old, because that's when I found out Mike had another love, and that was Crank. You know, I knew then that I could no longer ignore these problems, and the last 6 years of our marriage were very hellish. Not that there was violence like some of the horror stories I've heard since then, but basically I would say way before our divorce, I lost my Michael and the girls lost their dad. And just 18 months after our divorce, Mike was doing so poorly that his family from Minnesota came and brought him back to Minnesota. Remember how I said my life felt like ashes? Well, it was during that time that I read in Isaiah this scripture that said, "And the Lord will provide for those who grieve. He will bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning." I just held on to that scripture, even though I didn't feel it at the time. They do say that what doesn't kill you will make you stronger. And for my case, that was true, because I still had a daughter to raise all by myself. And I was just determined to do the best job I could. And so I did become stronger, and I didn't die. And, you know, the first 3 years after the divorce were the hardest. I just suffered from excruciating loneliness. But in time, I did become content being single. But that's not to say that in the back of my mind, I was always hoping my Prince Charming would come. And then, let's see, about 5 years after my divorce, with the help of the law, Mike did become sober. And he quit everything, even cigarettes. And for the sake of the kids, I was very happy. But as far as he or we were concerned, I didn't care because it was over and I didn't think it would last. And then a year later, our oldest got married in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And I was not impressed at all with Mike's sobriety. To me, he still seemed very arrogant. And then came the Christmas of 07. I was very excited because my daughter from Albuquerque was coming with her husband. But then I found out Mike was coming, and he was going to stay 10 days. 10 days! I thought, why is he staying so long? And thank God he's staying with Jessica! I just will not forget that night he came. Julia was having a guitar recital at Boise High School, and Melody left to go pick him up at the airport. And when he walked into that auditorium and our eyes met, he gave me the most genuine smile. And right then and there, I knew he was different, but I had my walls up. And then Mike became adamant that we all go see this movie called August Rush. Now, I thought the movie was dumb. But later, I found out Mike said to the girls, "I'll wait, even if it does take 11 years. And I thought, well, get a life. And then our youngest, Julia, she wanted to watch family home videos. I thought, what next? But during that, Mike said how full of himself he had been. That admission of guilt was like someone was turning the heat up on my icy wall. And then, what happened? Oh, well, Christmas time was always a time of Mike's full involvement. So 07 was like old times. We all went together and we got a real Christmas tree. And then Mike set it up. Could things get any worse? Yes, they could. Mike fixed my broken down old fence, and then my refrigerator went on the blink, and he fixed that. He had such a gentle spirit, the one he always had, but it just got overcome. I found myself just wanting to hug him all the time. I told myself to stop it, to just get over it. And then at night when he would leave, I didn't want him to go. And I just thought, what is wrong with me? Oh. And then on the seventh day, and there's just something about Mike and I in sevens, but we were sitting on the couch together, and I asked him if I could put my head on his shoulder. And he said, yeah, in fact, I would like that. So I put my head on his shoulder, and the sparks went flying. And the rest is history. You know, we've been carrying on a 3-year long-distance relationship since then. And every night he calls me after 8 because that's when the rates are free. We plan on getting married this summer in July in Minnesota. And then he will come back and live here in Idaho with me. And I just got to say, I am so glad to be marrying and growing old with a man who knows me and loves me like no other. And he loves my kids just as much as I do. But most of all, this time, we are getting married because we want to. You know, he's older, he's bigger, but he's definitely a better model. And I got my Michael back. Thank you.
Thank you for everything, Mom. Now, I'd love to tell you about 2 important new initiatives starting in March from Story Story Night. One is a new priority seating ticketing program. Tickets for our March 28th show, Rebellion, Stories of You Say You Want a Revolution, are on sale now at brownpapertickets.com. The other thing is a new workshop series called the Story Story Studio. The studio actually kicks off this Monday, March 21st, at 7 p.m. at Colmar Coffee House. Intrigued? Well, that's all you'll get here. So visit storystorynight.org to learn the intimate details. Next, story slammer Bernie Cocky spends decades making up her mind on an invitation to the prom.
A topic here. I'm, by the way, 5'1¼". Okay. And there's never been a topic here that I had a story on. And so star-crossed love is like, I don't have any star-crossed love. I have double-crossed love, maybe, but no star-crossed love. And then I went, once again, back to high school. Steve Olson. Oh, yes. Back in high school, I was very, very, very shy. Pretty much like I am today. And I joined drama club because I would at least be invited to one party a year. And in drama club was a boy named Steve Olson. And I was the pivotal year. I was a junior. He was a senior. And he was driving me home from rehearsal one night. And he pulled off at the side of the road. And he said, I want to talk to you about prom. Yes. And he said, I need to know whether I should ask Carrie or Rachel. And I said, either one of them are just fine. I need to go home. And so he drove me home and dropped me off. And he graduated and went into the Marines. Good. And I graduated and went off to college. And I came back. And it was probably about 2½, 3 years later when I ran into him back in my hometown. And I was actually working a Renaissance fair, and I was painting faces, and he came over, and I painted his face. But that's not the point. And he said to me, and I had met somebody when I was in college, and I got engaged. And then Steve comes home, and we meet in the park. And he said, oh, I've been hoping to run into you. Every time I come home, I tried calling your house. Nobody knows where you are. You're never home. Do you want to go out tonight? And I looked at him and I slapped him across the face and I said, I'm engaged! And I walked away. Okay. That's not the end of the story. The end of the story is about 10 years later when suddenly it occurred to me one day, I was like, I don't know, cleaning the bathroom or something, and I went, he pulled me over. He said that because he didn't want to ask me. He didn't want to ask me to go to the prom and have me say, nah. He wanted me to go, take me. I'm the one you should go to the prom with. And instead, I couldn't, you know, I wasn't going to deal with that. And it suddenly occurred to me that he wasn't rejecting me at all. He was opening himself up to me. And so right there on the bathroom floor, I looked up and I saw Steve. And I took his hand and I slapped him right across the face.
Thank you for listening. Story Story Night is brought to you by presenting partner the Boise State Story Initiative, venue partner the Lennon Building, design partner Neighborhood All-Stars, and our broadcast partner Boise State Public Radio. Please donate now at radio.boisestate.edu. Our Story Story Night theme is by Dan Costello. Hear more at hearcostello.com. Please join us next week for a podcast-exclusive teaser to preview our March 28th event, Rebellion, Stories of You Say You Want a Revolution. Learn more at storystorynight.org.